Hello, and welcome to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast. I am Jason, and with me as usual is Rich. Hello, Rich.
Hello.
We have some big news. We are now part of the Step Back, which is the new NBA vertical at FanSided. So we're excited to be part of that launch.
We want to thank Harper Paroxysm and all the editors for giving us a venue to talk about basketball history. HP will remain a strong, independent voice with Matt Moore retaining ownership. The rest of the network, including us and many of the great writers and podcasters, will be rolled up into the Step Back at FanSided.com. It will give us a new home for diverse basketball coverage and more resources to try new things. So if you liked the HP network, you will love the Step Back. And if you like what you hear from us, you can find us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for Over and Back NBA. While you're there, you might as well leave us a 5-star rating. If you have an extra second, you could even leave us a review. Hit pause and do it right now. We'll be here when you get back.
That was quick. Thank you, yes. Everybody.
So if you're new, if you're listening to us at the Step Back, you haven't heard what we do before, welcome. Hope you enjoy the show. We are a NBA podcast that tells stories about basketball history, gets into a bunch of different and fun stuff, and we're excited to start a new adventure on Step Back. And if you've been listening to us over the summer, you know that we've been doing an off-season series on the basketball mysteries of the 1970s. And we still have some mysteries we want to uncover, but we're hitting pause on the series for the moment. But we'll have more episodes coming with that soon. We'll kind of run them concurrently with some of our regular episodes. So
yeah, and you'll know, too, because like obviously in the title, you'll be able to tell. And we're going to keep some of the branding that we've had for those episodes. So you'll still hear the intro music will be a little bit different. Then you'll know, okay, this is a basketball mystery of the 1970 versus a normal episode that we have. Because we just have so much more to do, and we don't want to just say, all right, well, screw it, whatever. I mean, we have stuff that we've already recorded, stuff that we really wanted to talk about. So, yeah, we'll just kind of have them sparse throughout the season when there's kind of something we don't really have. You know, if we don't have an episode ready to go or something like that, we'll try to sprinkle it in. Because it's gotten a praise. So anybody who's listened to it has enjoyed it. So it's something that we don't want to let go right away, because you know it's been fun for both you and I to do, and it's something that even if people that listen to our first few episodes, one of the big things we said is, you know, nobody really, it seems like not many people cover the 70s NBA. So I thought it was great this summer that we were able to do that and dig in and talk, you know, some ABA, talk some NBA, talk, you know, just all this different stuff going on in the 70s. And it's a really undercovered era because it's not a star driven you know, decade. The 80s would come and just completely, you know, buzzsaw through it, and the 90s of course did it as well. So it's an era that we don't want to really distance ourselves from completely right now. So yeah, you'll see it kind of pop up from here and there.
Yeah, so we'll have it kind of mixed in with some other shows, you know, covering the 80s and 90s and 2000s, and you know, whatever topic floats our interest, we will be getting into it. But so we're gonna tackle a somewhat contemporary topic, but definitely delve into the past as well. We're looking at what we think it would take for Kevin Durant to be included in the conversation for greatest of all time. Now, some of you will be like, what? That's crazy. That's a ridiculous idea. But
I already hate these guys. The new people have already quit. They're done. They're gone. They've left.
But, you know, if you look at where, you know, he ranks in some of the all time categories right now, you know, on the surface there, you know, there's an interesting case to be made that he's working his way in that conversation.
No, absolutely. It seems a little odd, you know, initially, because, yeah, you said, like, people are going to have this initial idea about it, initially go, oh, no, there's no way. There's no way Kevin Durant. I don't know. I mean, he's not even the best of his own era. But when you really look at it, I mean, some of the stuff, the ranks, you know, points per game, he's third all time right now at 27.4. That's one that it kind of sucks that he's going to the Warriors, because, you know what I mean? Like, that's one that he could, if he stayed with, you know, whether it be Oklahoma City or went to his own team where he would be the primary star, the guy that, you know, always has the ball in his hands. That's a number that I could absolutely see him just continuing to kind of excel in and maybe even get better in as he kind of ages. It remains to be seen what he's going to do in Golden State, but that's one that you know, he's not going to be the all-time point per game leader. I feel safe in saying that now, but at 27.4, you know, third all-time, I think he can stay in that top 10 all-time. I mean, even if he falls a little bit, he still has a chance to be in there, and that's, you know, that's greatness. I mean, you look at the guys that are in there, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. I mean, those are some top tier guys. All-NBA first team, five times now, that's top 25. All-NBA second team one time as well. MVP award shares, he's 13th all-time. And again, this guy's 28, by the way. So, like, keep that in mind when we talk about some of this. PR, he's 8th all-time. Win shares per 48, he's 10th all-time. And win shares, he's 67th. Of course, win shares, as you kind of progress, it's a stat where you continue to add on to. So I imagine that 67th will, he'll be top 10, I think, all things considering, if he stays on a somewhat similar track to what he's been at, we're looking at top 10 all time in there. Winchers per 48, as I mentioned, top 10 right there. It's just insane. I mean, that resume right there alone is, you know, in a vacuum, if I just gave you that resume, if I just said, here's this person, let me know who it is, I don't know if everybody would pick Durant. I don't know if many people would pick Durant, to be honest.
Right. And that's, you know, and we'll get into it a little bit, but obviously, you know, the one big obstacle right away is he's behind LeBron James in most of these categories, or most of, like, you know, kind of the thinking of, okay, who's the greatest player of this generation? Obviously, Durant and LeBron are close in age, although there's enough of a separation where they're sort of slightly in, you know, different age tracks, age curves, I guess. Where LeBron, you know, who knows what he's incredible, he's superhuman, he may be great for a number of years. Where Durant is just getting right into the traditional prime of someone's career, and really, you know, the next 3 to 4 seasons has a chance to really step up and produce on an incredible level. Now, being with the Warriors, some of those things are going to be depressed. You know, the scoring totals may be less than they would have been in Oklahoma City or elsewhere. But as far as how efficient he's going to be, and the likelihood that the Warriors are, you become one of the great teams of all time, that's obviously going to boost the case as well. Looking at where he stands among other all-time greats, right at the, kind of the same point in his career at the same age, if you look at guys with 24 points per game, 0.180 win shares per 48, and 24 PER, he's on a list of 11 guys. Jordan, Chamberlain, Shaq, David Robinson, LeBron, Kareem, Bob Pettit, Dwayne Wade, Oscar Robertson, and Larry Bird. And he,
not bad.
Yeah, right.
that's some good company to keep right there.
Yes. Now, he's a little bit on the low end in win shares in those categories. See, he's 10th with 107.9. Wilt, at the same point, had 183. Jordan had 147. And LeBron had 133. So he's low on that. He does have the best true shooting percentage of any of those guys. You know, he's right near the top when it comes to points. And, you know, so he's certainly strong, and I mean, that's a good list to be on, even if you're a little bit at the lower end. But if you look at guys who at age 28, it's a similar list. Bird is not on the list, but Julius Erving, George Mikan, and Elgin Baylor are on the list. And, you know, he is right there in terms of, you comparing Winchers, he's much closer to, you know, like, he's right there with Shaq. He's right there with Dr. J. You know, he's certainly, you know, looking at it that way, you know, he's a little bit ahead of the game because, you know, he's starting his career younger than most of the other players on this list. But also, the first couple of years of his career, statistically, he struggled a little bit. So that kind of drags down the career average.
Right.
That, you know.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing, because people do bring that up a lot, especially, you know, in a lot of cases with, like, a LeBron or whatever, when you bring up and, well, he started when he was 18, of course. But it's like, well, yeah, but he wasn't, you know, the guys like a Magic Johnson or whatever who waltzed in the league, they were ready to go from day one. And LeBron, you know, yeah, he was pretty much ready to go, and Durant had his own, but they weren't like all-time great levels in their rookie year. They were very good in their rookie years. Even Durant took a few years to get going, but it wasn't until we saw maybe 3 or 4 years down the line. We see the same thing with Kevin Garnett. We talked about him over the summer as well. Garnett's a guy who, again, yes, he started when he was 18 or whatever and started out of high school, but the first few years it took him a little bit to get going, and then once he got going, then it was, you know, full steam ahead. But yeah, it's both an advantage and a disadvantage for those guys that either come through high school or come, you know, after 1 year of college or whatever.
Yeah, because you can obviously boost the career totals, but some, you know, it's going to depress some of your averages. And he had kind of a weird situation when he started Oklahoma City. He was playing, you know, with PJ Carlissimo, and as the coach, he was playing shooting guard for a while. And the plus minus stuff, especially, he kind of struggled with for the first, you know, 2 or 3 seasons of his career before, before they added some more talent around him, and he obviously developed and, you know, became really an elite player around his third season or so. So if you look at guys who in their full career had at least a 24 PER, 24 points per game, and a 0.18 win shares for 48, you have a list of 6, including Durant. The others are Kareem, Wilt, Jordan, LeBron, and Bob Pettit. So that's obviously some great company to be keeping. Now, you know, as he, you know, gets older, he obviously, some of that will go down a little bit. Some of those averages will go down, you know, whether it's the points or some of the advanced stats are likely to go down just because that happens toward the end of your career. But still, you know, he's in a very, you know, amazing, he's in very amazing company here, and it's unlikely to dip that far down.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's you know, at the most like realistic possibility is maybe, you know, he jumps down a little bit on the, you know, especially in this list. He's sixth on that list that you just said, the 24 PR, the 24 points per game, and the 0.180 win shares per 48. I mean, realistically, yeah, maybe he drops a little bit off that. But I mean, we're still looking at a guy who with, you know, even the most conservative projections, you know, we're looking at a guy who you can make a case for, you know, top 15, top 10 all time sort of guy. I mean, like that, we're honestly on that path right now, barring some catastrophe where this is it. And like, even then, like, because that's the thing that I saw brought up by some people and in doing a little bit of research for this is people had this idea, and this kind of comes up a lot, especially with, you know, LeBron, it was often came up, is, you know, if just next year Kevin Durant goes, you know what, I'm done, I quit. Like, that, I don't know that necessarily takes away from him. I think if anything, it's just like, all right, well, here's his resume. Like, it's just as good, even if he didn't, you know, get these other things or didn't go on for, you know, 10 more years or whatever. I think that's still a really solid resume, because we forget this man came into the league in 2008. You know, he's 28 years old, but he's had a lot of years in this league already.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a bad career for a guy. It's not like he, you know, we're lucky that we're going to see him continue to build on that, but it's not like he hasn't had a fulfilling or full career at this point, because he absolutely has.
Sure, he's going to cross, very likely to cross 20,000 minutes this year. You know, he's had nine seasons. I mean, that would be a, if he played in the 50s, that'd be basically an NBA career. So,
right.
you know, obviously we expect him to play for, you know, hopefully for many more years, but yes, he is certainly, he has already accomplished quite a bit. I mean, he's not new by any stretch of imagination. He's, yeah, automatic Hall of Famer, top 50 player all time, even if he retired tomorrow. Absolutely. But, you know, now it would definitely take some accomplishments, particularly over the next 5 years, to get him in this potential greatest of all time conversation. You know, he's behind LeBron in terms of full time accolades, as we've talked about. You know, LeBron has four MVPs. LeBron has three championships. LeBron is much stronger in the plus minus stats. If you look at box score plus minus or value over placement player, those are definitely the stats where Durant falls behind LeBron, and also in the, you know, the head to head matchups, LeBron has gotten the better of those as well, particularly the 2012 finals. So, of course, it'll be interesting to see if the Cavs and the Warriors each go to the finals again this year, as a lot of people are expecting to be the favorites. Then, you know, that's an opportunity for Durant to definitely take a bite out of LeBron there. And if you look at the guys with more than four box score plus minus and more than 40 value over placement players, so both, you know, the excellent per minute and also some length to their careers, and this is post 1974, because those stats weren't tracked before 74. Durant is 20th on that list, and his box score plus minus is 4.8 to LeBron's 9.2, which is number one all time. Jordan is number two at 8.1. So definitely a lot of work to do there. And I'm not sure how much, you know, playing with an all time great team like Golden State, certainly on paper, should be. Whether that actually happens or not is, of course, still up in the air, but certainly an expectation of being a team that has a chance to become a dynasty, whether that will be able to boost those things significantly or not, and how much that even matters is another question. So, you know, one thing we talked a little bit about this before, but I think is interesting, because I think Durant's move to Golden State, on one hand, it's the easier path because his teammates are, he's got an incredibly combination of teammates that he's going to have, you know, four guys together who were all on the all NBA team last year, which I believe is nearly unprecedented, at least in recent history. And so it's going to create a bigger set of expectations for him. I mean, anything less than multiple championships over the next 4 or 5 years is going to be seen as a pretty big disappointment, which, you know, when you have all these players and you're coming from the 73 wins last year and the way that they lost the 3-1 lead and all that, I think there is going to be a lot of pressure here, even if the individual burden is shared more, you know, with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, than it would have been in Oklahoma, where they're obviously, you know, the two-headed monster there.
Yeah, we always, I think we forget that sometimes where people say, oh, the easy path. Oh, he took the easy path. Right. Oh, he's with other guys. It's like, go talk to LeBron James about the, like, 2001 season where, you know, the Heat didn't win the championship and what the kind of the narrative was around that. I mean, yes, taking the easy path, you know, or the quote unquote easy path is, you know, on paper easier and it's going to, but I mean, yeah, the pressure is going to be on. And there's another thing too, you know, of teams going for you as well. When you come to town, there's going to be a different sort of vibe about, okay, this is that powerhouse team. We're going to be super focused here. We're going to try to beat. I mean, everybody loves that. I mean, we remember that in the 2001 Heat was the most recent example of that, where no matter who they were facing, whether it be, you know, a lowly team like, you know, the Wolves or who, it didn't matter who they were facing, everybody got up for that game. The crowds were nuts. Everybody was, I mean, it's a whole different atmosphere being in there. And yeah, you know, with the Thunder, he was able to kind of be, you know, the little engine that could. That entire team was like, okay, this is, you know, that's a team that's trying to knock off a powerhouse, that Thunder team. Now he goes to the powerhouse, you know, that it's easier, you know, on paper, but it's in no way easier mentally or physically, really, to do that. And yeah, there's going to be that expectations that it's not just one championship. It's not going to be, you know, making the playoffs every single year. It's not going to be winning 60 games. It's not going to be flirting with 70 wins. It's going to be multiple championships before people really go, oh, okay, well, that's fine. You know, and that's huge expectations. That's not fun to be in. I'm sure, you know, we really underrate how much pressure it does take for an athlete to go under to do that.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out, you know, whether Durant is going to be, you know, in a year or two, seen as clearly the best player on this Warriors team. And if they're, you know, threatening to win 70 games each year and continuing to be awesome, whether he'll be in that MVP consideration again, which is going to be another big factor into whether he is, you know, going to be in that greatest of all time conversation, because it's going to take some MVP finishes for him, for sure, for people to sort of, for him to supplant LeBron in people's minds. And LeBron, of course, will have to start aging somewhat, and the Cavs will have to, you know, they're probably going to be still be in contention for getting to the finals, just because, you know, they're so much better than the rest of the East. But, you know, it's going to take a lot for this to happen. I don't necessarily consider it likely, but I do think that obviously the Warriors are certainly in a great position to really be to become the next dynasty. And, you know, kind of comparing them to the other teams that are sort of seen on that level in the last 35 years or so, it is pretty interesting.
Yeah, so there were a few teams that we kind of picked out here that we looked at, you know, year three of their dynasty or whatever, and how this Warriors team kind of compares to them. First one we looked at was the Los Angeles Lakers 1982. That unit, and for the purpose of this study, I'm looking at their top four players. It's obviously because the Warriors now have a quote-unquote big four. So I'm looking at the top four players and their win shares in years, how old they were in the year three of this dynasty, just to get an idea of kind of the average win shares, the average age, just to see how the Warriors compare. 82 Lakers, again, Magic Johnson, 12.9 win shares, 22 years old. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 10.7 win shares. He was 34 years old. Michael Cooper, 5.0 win shares. He was 25 years old. And then Jamal Wilkes, 7.7 win shares, and he was 28 years old. So that's an average of 9 win shares and 27 years old for that 82 Lakers. 93 Bulls, Michael Jordan, 17.2 win shares, 29 years old. Horace Grant, 9.1 win shares, 27 years old. Scottie Pippen, 8.6 win shares. He was 27 years old as well. And then B.J. Armstrong, 7.5 win shares, 25 years old. I always forgot that BJ was like that good. Like, people kind of underrate how good BJ Armstrong was. Pretty cool. But yeah, so that average is 10.6 win shares, 27 years old. So we see that same 27 years old, but of course a little bit better in the win shares, helped out by Michael Jordan having 17.2 is certainly a large help. And the 2002 Lakers are back again. Shaq, 13.2 win shares. He was 29 years old. Kobe Bryant, 12.7 win shares. He's 23 years old at this point. Robert Horry, 6.9 win shares. He's 31. And then Derek Fisher, 5.5 win shares. He's 27 years old. So it's 9.6 win shares average, 27.5 years old. So a little bit older and a little bit less, about one less than the Bulls, but a little bit more than the 82 Lakers. We see the 2002 Lakers stack up. And now the 2017 Warriors. So I use last year's win shares statistics. I mean, obviously, this is something we'll probably have to revisit at the end of the year. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe I should use a projection model, but I couldn't find any good projection. So whatever. I'm using last year's kind of win shares just to get an idea of how they're set up, you know, kind of extrapolating what they did last year onto this year. The ages, though, are updated as of this year, so what they would be at the beginning of this year. So last year, Steph Curry, 17.9 win shares, and he will be 28 years old this year. Draymond Green, he had 11.1 win shares, and he'll be 26 this year. Klay Thompson, 8 win shares, he'll be 26 as well. And then Kevin Durant, 14.5 win shares, and he will be 28 years old. What's interesting about this, though, age is the same, 27 years old. That's what we've seen with a lot of these other ones, the 93 Bulls, the 82 Lakers, and, you know, the 2002 Lakers are a little bit older at 27.5. But still, this Warriors team, 27 years old. They're not really, you know, every one of those teams had a super young dude that was kind of doing some stuff for them. This team, you know, they're not old. I wouldn't call them old on any level, but still, yeah, I mean, it's just interesting to see there. But their average win share is 12.9. You know, with the idea that what they did last year, they'll kind of carry it over this year, be relatively the same. 12.9 win share. So that puts them way ahead of those other dynasties, but at around the same age as those. So I don't know. When you kind of look at that, and I guess we'll have to look at the end of the year again to kind of get an idea of if this changes at all. But I do see, you know, some of those win shares going down for each of those. So I don't know that they're necessarily like on this completely different plane than these other dynasties that we've seen, which is I thought kind of interesting. I thought they'd be just so far and ahead of these other guys in terms of age and all that sort of stuff, but they're really not. So it's interesting to see. And we do know how, you know, a few of those, you know, dynasties ended up. But yeah, they're better, but I don't know if they're like that astronomically better than the other dynasties that we've seen, you know, throughout the last, you know, few decades.
Yeah, that is interesting because, yeah, I mean, the Warriors are certainly young. You know, they're, you know, 26. All their guys are either 20 or 26. But yeah, you average that out and none of them are super young. I mean, they're all kind of what they're going to be, you know, for the most part. I mean, they may some improvement playing together. And, you know, Clay may grow a little bit and Draymond, I guess, could grow a little bit. But they're all about their peak level. So it'll just kind of depend on how they fit together, how they age. Of course, staying healthy, you know, one of the most important things. I guess this shows that, I mean, the Lakers obviously kept things together. You know, they dominated the rest of the 80s. They didn't win every championship, obviously, but they won most of them. The Bulls, you know, they dominated the rest of the 90s. So that went pretty well. Of course, Jordan was older, was 29 at that point. And Grant and Armstrong weren't even with the rest of the team. So, and of course, Jordan took his break. So that's a different situation. And the Lakers would have probably kept going if Shaq and Kobe could have stuck together. Probably would have, you know, been at least a force for another 3 or 4 years or so. So, I guess looking at those things, looking at the past, I mean, those teams, you know, they certainly didn't win every year, but they, you know, kept it together, obviously subbing in and out some other players, you know, but I do think there's a good chance the Warriors could keep it together. But yeah, there isn't. I mean, they're certainly young enough, but they're not super young to the point where you can just expect I think it's fair to expect them to be a championship contender for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years or so. But, you know, but beyond that, it is less unprecedented than you might think.
It's hard to extrapolate the next 10 years. You know, it's hard to say, okay, they're going to be a dynasty for the next, you know, 10 years or the next decade or whatever. I mean, obviously contracts happen, things happen, injuries happen, you know, personalities happen, all that sort of stuff, you know, goes on. But it'd be unrealistic to think that this team, you know, in a few years just kind of crumbles or even, you know, by next year, it's already kind of falling apart. Like in all of these comps we look at and we look, okay, these guys had prolonged runs. And if not for those personalities and other things that we mentioned and injuries and all that, a lot of these teams would have gone on even longer than they did. So it's really interesting to see. But yeah, this Warriors team, I mean, I was kind of surprised at that. I thought they'd be, you know, way head and shoulders above these other dynasties, and they're really not. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they stack up against those.
Yeah, but I do think it's fair to say with them all being, you know, fairly similar ages, with the skills they have that, you know, in theory complement each other, with probably the ability of Durant and Curry to age so well just because they're shooting. I do think that they are set up as well as any team has been in the last 35 or 40 years to really be a long-term dynasty. And of course, lots has to happen. They have to do a lot to accomplish that. And as you mentioned, there's so many roadblocks that kind of come into that. But I do think that they are set up in a position where they have the best chance at it that anyone has in a long time.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, especially when you take a guy that's a bona fide MVP candidate and put him on a team. You know what I mean? Like even the, you know, we talk about the big three with you know, Miami is the most recent comp. And that was a team that, yeah, Wade was still, you know, awesome, but he wasn't, I don't know, I wouldn't call him, you know, a top five player in the league like Curry is or whatever. And Chris Bosh was also very good, but you know, we're not talking about that. Like this is, you know, the two top three players in the league, you know, coming together into one. And that's in the prime of their career. as they're both kind of entering their physical primes as well and their mental primes. So, and then, like you said, the compliments too. You look at a Klay Thompson who's just perfect for that, you know, a spread the four type guy. And then a Draymond Green, a guy who's, you know, just a super great defender and all that sort of stuff. It's set up very nicely for them to go on a nice run. And it's going to be like it is often with these, is the kind of the complimentary pieces. You know, it's kind of funny, but it will be, you know, how awesome Zaza Pachulia is might, you know, determine how great Kevin Durant is considered all time if the team goes on a three, you know, title run or, you know, and that's always the funny part about this is we sort of hyper focus on the one guy and the superstar or whatever. And a lot of times it is those secondary guys, you know, helping the team and being that extra little boost that you need to win an NBA championship or whatever. So it's super interesting. But yeah, I mean, Durant is on that path. I mean, he absolutely is. And it's something we do and we should monitor over the next decade to see kind of where he goes. But it's always gonna be tough with LeBron, you know, being there and being that comp. It's much like the 90s with Michael, where, you know, all those guys were just so good, and it's just, they're just so overshadowed. They're just always in that shadow of Michael Jordan.
Thanks everyone for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode. You can find us at The Step Back at fansided.com, and you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review if you're into what we're doing. And you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Over and Back NBA. Until next time, thanks.